And now I'd like to think with you about our faith in God. This is the first message on faith in God. We're going to have six messages on faith in God. Before I begin my first message in the series of six messages on faith in God, I'd like to help you understand why I decided to share these six messages in faith in God with you. I know that God can help anyone with any problem that they have in life if they will give God an opportunity to help them. How do I know this? It's because God helped me with the most devastating problems anyone can have in life. And I want to share this faith in God with you. You know, some people think that pastors live charmed lives, you know. They think pastors couldn't possibly understand the problems that they face in life. Well, I want you to know that I've been there, and with probably even greater problems than most people will ever know. And God has helped me. When there seems to be no help at all, God is there to help me. Well, I was a rifleman on the Drenamore River in Natapi in New Guinea during World War II. I was with two other men in a foxhole. After a few weeks, I began to realize the horrible reality of living the most primitive conditions for anyone in this whole wild world. We were in the same uniform with the same boots 24 hours a day for weeks at a time in the mud. Every day at 4 o'clock, the monsoon rain would soak us to the skin, even with rubber ponchos. We had a small rubber bag that we put our sweater in so that it would be dry, so that at night we would have a warm, dry sweater under our poncho to keep us warm with our body heat. We ate three cold meals every day from sea ration tin cans. We didn't have any latrines, so we had to go into the bushes. Every night we took turns with an hour on guard duty and 2 hours off for sleeping, and then an hour on guard duty and 2 hours off on sleeping every night. Everyone had jungle sores all over their bodies. We got we got new underwear every 10 or 15 days. We didn't have a shower or a bath for 60 days at a time. And I was all alone, 10,000 miles from home. Everything looked hopeless. I was so depressed that I even thought of suicide at that particular time in my life. And I thought suicide would probably be the only solution. One night, I was alone on a 1 hour guard duty in the middle of the night. And I was seated on the dugout seat in the firing front, the front of the foxhole where we fired our rifles from. The darkness of the jungle was pitch black. I was so depressed that I placed the stock of my rifle on the ground and in the foxhole in the mud. I put the cold barrel of the rifle to the temple in my head. I clicked the safety off, and I put my finger on the trigger. All I had to do was push that trigger, and I would have been dead, gone on to glory. I sat like that for several minutes thinking about my life, and then I prayed, "Oh God, help me. I need your help." A calm came over my mind. I felt God's presence. I pushed the safety back on and continued living. Faith in God made the difference. One other time in my life, God helped me, had another horrible moment in my life on the front lines. And Now I want to share this faith in God with you in 6 messages so that God can help you with your problems in life. These messages will be heard each week from the Sunday to Wednesday by calling the Dial Hope second number, which is 858-277-2389. They will also be recorded on audio cassettes and will be available following the series free for you or someone that you think might help. It might help. As you know, I try every week to share with you something that will help all of us with the living of our lives, like I've been doing for the last 18 years right here in our church. And now for the first message in the series of Faith in God. Life is hard, God is good, faith is the key. Clara Knoll of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in the Christian Reader magazine writes, "It was one of the worst days of my life. The washing machine broke down. The telephone kept breaking, ringing, my head ached, and the mail carrier brought a bill that I had no money to pay. Almost to the breaking point, I lifted my 1-year-old son into a high chair, leaned my head against his tray, began to cry. Without a word, my son took his pacifier out of his mouth and he stuck it into mine. All of us at some time in our lives have been there. We understand when we have a very difficult thing happen to us. In the Talmud, a collection of Hebrew laws, it states a child's tears moves heaven itself. We also read, it is better for that the children cry than their mothers cry. I like something Calvin Miller once said about crying. He said, crying is common in this world. It does little good to ask the reason for it. Laughter can be heard here and there, but by and large, weeping predominates. With maturity, the sound and reason for crying changes, but never does it stop. All infants do it everywhere, even in the public. By adulthood, most crying is done alone and in the dark. Weeping for babies is a sign of health and evidence of life. It leaves weeping and being alive synonymous. If you want to read one of the defining statements in all the Bible about the nature of God, you will find it in our scripture for today in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, the 9th through the 17th verses. After a magnificent description of the angels and the saints gathered around God's throne, we read this revealing statement. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Think about that for a moment. God, the author of all creation, God who flung the planets into their orbits and set the stars aflame in the universe, God who is the ground of all being, this God stoops down and wipes the tears from his children's eyes. Isn't that amazing? Tears are universal. Research shows that the most common reason for crying is sadness, followed in rank by happiness, anger, sympathy, anxiety, and fear. Oh, some people say they never cry, but we pity them more than envy them. Experts tell us that chemically, tears resulting from sadness or anger or fear or joy are different from those caused by saying smelling onions. There is speculation among scientists that the tears which we shed when we hurt or are in distress may be nature's method of removing chemicals built up by stress from the body. Women cry 5 times as often as men, and that may be a factor in their longevity. 85% of the women and 73% of the men thought that crying made them feel better. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, it was odd, but when I was courting Betty those many years ago, we'd go to the movie, and I'd cry at a different place in the movie than she did. I went to a psychiatrist about that later on. I said, I can't understand this, you know. He said, well, if I took you apart and put you back together, I don't think I'd get you back to as good as you are right now. But this is because you have a different look at and a different impression about what crying and what you're crying about. I always cry when something good happens to somebody, because I'm so happy to see that person get something happen that's really good for them. Now, Betty cries when somebody gets hurt. Crying is strange that way. We cry for different reasons. Charles Allen says, tears are not an indication of the lack of faith, nor are they signs of weakness. But life is difficult. It is filled with frustrating moments. There are times when everyone needs to cry. 2 students at a Baptist seminary in Alabama decided that they would spend their summer doing evangelistic work in the rural areas around Montgomery. One hot day, they stopped their car in front of a farmhouse and proceeded up the path through a gauntlet of screaming children and barking dogs. When they knocked on the screen door, the woman of the house stopped her scrubbing over a tub and washboard. She brushed her hair and perspiration from her brow and asked them what they wanted. And they answered, "We would like to tell you how to obtain eternal life." Well, the tired homemaker hesitated for a moment, and then she replied, "Thank you, but I don't believe I could stand it." Life is hard, whether you are a homemaker or a hard hat. There are difficulties in life that strain your ability to cope and to make sense out of life. Well, life is hard, but listen, God is good. And that is what we need to remind ourselves today. God is good. God can be trusted. God will neither forget us nor forsake us. Billy Graham notes that, as mysterious as it appears to be, true faith and suffering frequently go hand in hand. You seldom have one without the other. Billy Graham tells about his good friend, Corrie Ten Boom, who has gone home to be with her Lord. Corrie said, after being a prisoner in Ravensbrück, the infamous women's concentration camp in Germany during World War II, Corrie traveled throughout the world telling her story of suffering and joy. For 33 years, she never had a permanent home. When she was 85 years old, her supporters provided her with a loving house in California. It was a luxury she had never dreamed that she would have. And one day, as her friend and movie director, the late Jimmy Collier, was leaving her home, he said, "Corrie, hasn't God been good to give you this beautiful place?" Corrie replied firmly, "Jimmy, God was good when I was in the concentration camp in Ravensbrück, too." Now that's faith and that's trust. To believe under the most difficult and trying circumstances that God is with us and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Life is hard, but God is good. Many of us have only fair weather faith. if things are going well, then our faith in God is pretty strong. But in the time of testing, we crumble and fail. Imagine what it would have been like to live as a Christian in the first century A.D. When the writer of Revelation spoke of those who have come out of the tribulation, he was referring to martyrs who were slain for their faith. The white robes are the symbol of salvation and victory and possibly a martyrdom. Did you know that there are Christians who are still suffering for their faith in many parts of our world today? Our problems pale in comparison to the problems of many of our fellow believers. Still, life is difficult. Nobody promised us it would be easy. But we do have another promise in which we can take great comfort. We have a friend who will help us cope with life, who will give us the victory, because God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Life is hard. God is good. Faith is the key. Faith is no abstract notion that somewhere, somehow, there is a benign creator who has some interest in our lives. Faith is a lifestyle that is built on the rock-solid assurance that God will never forsake us in this world or the next. It is a commitment to the idea that God is so concerned about our individual needs and concerns that God is with us in our suffering and in our successes, in our joys and in our tears. When we are faced with a real life and death crisis, our faith in God is strengthened. I've seen men and women in the hospital, when I was a hospital chaplain for 3 years, suffering real and vital and horrible pain. And they tell me God was with them and they had no fear. I heard one of the radio, on the radio some time ago, that people in the hospital with a strong faith in God get well faster than those who do not have faith in God. In fact, scientists are studying this phenomenon right now. People with a strong faith in God have healthier and happier lives. So, a strong faith and suffering often go hand in hand. It's like a woman named Helga Schmidt who had resigned herself to waiting in long lines all day long during the Christmas shopping. She tried to keep a positive attitude, but the holiday glitter left her cold. The true spirit of Christmas was getting lost in all of her hurried preparations. Directly ahead of her and her in the line, Helga noticed a brother and sister contentedly waiting to make their purchase. By their slightly shabby appearance, she guessed that the children came from a poor family. In contrast to their worn clothing, however, they carried to the checkout counter a lovely pair of house slippers in a lustrous gold color. When the clerk rang up their purchase, the children discovered that they were a few dollars short. The little boy tried to be brave, but the little girl began crying. She said, "But Jesus would have loved these shoes." Helga hastily pulled out a few dollars and completed the children's purchase, restoring smiles to the children's faces. She asked them to explain what they meant about Jesus loving the house slippers. And the little boy explained that their mother was very ill and would probably be with Jesus soon. The children had learned in Sunday school that heaven's streets are paved with gold, and they wanted their mother to have the appropriate shoes to wear. As the little girl said, Won't my mommy be a beautiful walking on those streets to match those shoes? And through the tears, Helga had to agree. A touching story of the naive faith of a child, but it is a faith that has comforted millions of Christians throughout centuries of time. Life is hard, but God is good. And because God is good, this earth is not sufficient. Too many dramas have the final curtain fall before the first act is finished. Too many flowers are nipped in the bud of life's cruel frost. Because God is good, there has got to be more. There must be a place where all that made us weak and therefore human, our hunger, our thirst, our pain, and our confusion will be taken away. There must be a place where Christ's reign over us will complete us. Bruce Larson tells of having some clothes altered by a Jewish American tailor. The tailor told Larson about making a trip to Israel several years ago. He said, "It's a strange thing, Pastor. I've never been there before. I'm not a religious man. I don't go to the synagogue. But when I got off that plane in Israel, I said to my wife, we've come home. We were meant to live in this place. Ever since then, I've been making plans to sell out and go there. I know I won't live well. I can't make as much money or have as many comforts, but somehow that's home." You and I will have the same reaction someday when we join the Christians gathered around the throne of God. We know that this is not our home, but one day we will be home. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. A pastor was called to the bedside of one of his parishioners who was desperately ill. The man said to the pastor, "I know I'm going to die, but I'm not afraid. As I pass through the valley of the shadow, the one who has led me all through my life will still be there with me, and I shall dwell with him eternally." As he spoke, his emotions were stirred and he began to weep. The minister took a handkerchief and tenderly put it to the man's face. He responded gratefully, "Thank you, Pastor. The next time tears are wiped from my eyes, God himself will do it. Life is hard, God is good, but faith is the key. We all need that real personal faith in God. We can have that personal faith in God if we spend time with our Lord. As I always suggest, take your Bible, read a page a day in the Psalms, a page a day in the Proverbs, a page a day in the New Testament, beginning with Matthew, and God will speak to you. And then pray and ask God to come into your life and help you with the living of your life. Let's do it now in silent prayer. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins of the past, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we all need you in our lives. Come into our lives, we pray. Forgive all of our sins and mistakes of the past, and help us with the living of our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.